Ninja Turtles. I was about to quit. Like, I was done. I was so fed up. I was just burnt out, man. As a modern artist, you have to learn business, and you're learning that on the fly, usually by, like, hard knocks. I was always like, man, I'm not good enough, or I haven't been doing this long enough. Like, you know, all that comes into play. And then you get into some of these rooms, and you're just like, holy cow, man. Like, dude, they're no different than me. Like, there was nothing holding me back this whole time.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in. Sit on down. It's time for another episode of the Truth of Therapy Sessions, episode 90. My, how the time flies. We're almost there. 10 more episodes and we'll be at 100. For whatever that's worth, whatever that even means. Not really that much, does it? But yes, guys, thanks for being here. I think we all need this. I think it's that time of the week. It's Sunday. It's been a grind, and everything's falling apart all around us in our own personal lives and the world, it seems. And I think perhaps we're all in the mood just to get a bit introspective, have a bit of fellowship, and maybe just listen to somebody ramble on for a little bit about how crazy they aren't, because we're all in this together, you know. Anyway, yeah, as you just saw there in the opening clip, that is the promo teaser for the next episode that's coming to Understanding Creativity this week. It's a guest artist, Tim Latty. Tim Latty is a animator, illustrator, works for Mattel, Nickelodeon, NBA. He's worked for a lot of people over the years. He's drawn for Ghostbusters, for comic books, for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series. He's worked for a lot of companies, let's put it that way. And he's a well-respected illustrator in his field, and he's also a watcher of my channel, believe it or not. And he's working on some fun stuff as well, and his own little side projects to do with hidden history. He's made his own little comic book based on that kind of research about the ancient buildings, the Millennial Kingdom stuff, Tartaria stuff, which is quite fun. And we had a great conversation, and that's coming this week to Understanding Creativity. So go and subscribe to that if you haven't already. The channel's doing well. We're almost at 3,000 subscribers over there, and yeah, it's going great. And I have a few more coming up just after this show. In fact, at 10 p.m., I've scheduled to talk with Susan again, Susan Faraday, for the next installment of Occult Artists. We looked into Klimt and his backstory in life and his famous painting, The Kiss, and kind of reevaluated it from a conspiratorial Christian perspective in a way not you probably wouldn't hear in the lecture theaters or the gallery halls or through the mainstream understanding of the history of these paintings. But examining it from a perspective that we understand it from, it turns out there's actually a lot more of a sinister undertone to that painting than we would otherwise have realized. And Susan did a great job presenting that. And tonight we're going to go into another artist and break down some of their work too. So that's coming in the future as well. So you have that to look forward to. And of course, yours truly, our very own Elizabeth from Rejoice Artwork. I had the pleasure of talking with her a few nights ago. And she's going to be the next episode of the Visiting Artists, guest artists, and she'll be on maybe in a week or two. That'll be turning up on there as well. So lots to come on that new channel. Go and check that out if you haven't already. And while we're in Shilltown, Destination Shilltown, to quote Connor from The Cult of Con, why don't just go ahead and say I have two more signed, well, available for signed copy books of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. I have a paperback here and a hardcover here. Last two I've got in stock. I'll do them £10 off as an offer. £40 for this one, £50 for the hardcover, and that covers postage to anywhere in the world. Flat rate, flat cost, and that just comes with a signature as well. I'll mail that to you personally. Email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com to get your own copy, and I can get that sorted for you straight away. Anyway, that's enough of the Now You See TV method of just doing nothing but plugging and promoting for the first half of the entire show before we get to the point. Let's just get to the point, shall we? Let's just talk about what's actually been going on in the world. It seems like World War III is kicking off, doesn't it? Let's just say what it is, what it is. Today I was went around this Father's Day in the UK, you know, so I had a lovely morning. Breakfast was made for me by my loving wife. A present, I had chocolate laid out for me. My wife bought me a 4K webcam to try out, but it turns out the 1080 that we already have here, the DJI, will do. So the thought that counts, but we'll be sending this back and maybe putting the money into something else instead. But yeah, it was a good day for me, but I had to go see my own father. And, you know, they actually still watch the news when I go around there. The TV's always on and, you know, he's watching horse racing and everything else on a Sunday. And the news is always on. And I sat there, you know, feeding my baby before he started screaming the place down. And I saw there Donald Trump doing a speech with bulletproof glass in front of him about supporting the troops. And it seems like everyone's battle ready and the flags are waving and, you know, missiles are flying. We saw the footage of like Israel's dome defense system shooting down the Iranian missiles, and like only a few got through. 13 dead, headlines coming up. And yeah, it's that time again, isn't it? It's that cycle time where the threats of nuclear armaments are just around the corner, as they have been since the 90s. Any minute now, nuclear weapons could be acquired and the worst could happen, and preventative measures must be taken and all the rest of it. And it's funny, someone sent me a comment on one of my last videos. It was the You Can't Save the World video. And I think, again, I didn't make it thinking much about this topic at the time, but it seems quite timely. And someone left a really silly comment, and they were saying like, well, it seems like the small hats have got to you, haven't they? They've made the call and they've had the talk with you. And I'm like, no, I'm literally just giving the basic Christian gospel in this message. Like, why try and save the world? It's all sand through the fingers. It's all vanity. You know, it's basically Ecclesiastes in a nutshell. And he then messaged me back with something really saying, yeah, next we'll be hearing you saying we need to go support Israel like a good Christian. And I'm like, where did that come from? Like, do you even know me at all? Like, if you have been following me for any length of time whatsoever, you know I would not support or condone war in any way, shape or form, let alone support Israel. And I don't support Iran either. I don't support any of that. I don't play that game. I'm not in that stupid system. And I'm not a Christian who goes around like the Americans just listening to anything the 501c3 pastors tell them, that we must militarily support this random place in the Middle East that claims to be God's chosen. Like, I'm not that type of person. Come on. Like, I don't care. I'm British as well. Like, it was very an Amerocentric, stereotypical assumption of Christianity laid upon me. And it's kind of, okay, so everyone's getting angry is what I gathered. There's a group of people out there now online who are all riled up and ready to go, and because of the current conflict going on in the Middle East. And it's sad. The only victim here are the innocent people who are just dying under the destructive properties of missiles and bombs falling on their heads. They didn't really have any say in any of this. You know, these are power plays, political power plays. You know. And I can't help but recall through my years of research into conspiracy topics, you know, and this was brought up today. Someone sent me an email, Elena, her name is, and she sent me an email from somebody, a video from someone who's quite a big name in the truth and movement. I can't remember it right now. It'll come to me soon. But he released a video where he basically read the Project Bluebeam book. It was like a 30-page book, which popularized the theory in the 90s. And this guy was talking about, In reading the book, you know, how there's this long-term staged plan to get people to have a one world government, one world order, one world currency with no borders. And to get there, they have to stage a massive fake spiritual style return of Jesus event / alien invasion projection in the sky using like Bluebeam, or Blue Beans, as Wendy likes to call it. So Bluebeam, Project Bluebeam. There is this long-term agenda to eventually use insane technology, which seems like science fiction to us right now, which will literally involve the projection of every religion's savior in the sky simultaneously speaking into the skulls of people below them profound religious messages about coming together as one, basically. That's it in a nutshell. And it'll involve some kind of frequency weapon technology that can literally get message words to skull. And we've heard that this is possible. We've heard targeted individual groups talk about this voice to skull technology as well. And it seems like en masse, this will be happening, you know, and perhaps the towers they've been building everywhere might come in handy with this kind of thing. And maybe the nanotech they've been kind of putting in everything and around everywhere that we've been inhaling and ingesting into our own bodies will fuse with us and create antenna signal gathering stuff wide within the brain nervous system. I don't know. I'm riffing here, but to make that happen, you have to imagine a lot of steps have to be taken first. And this sounds like an agenda that's been in plan for a very, 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 very long time. And even in the original book this guy was reading, he's saying the plan began when they first started creating Star Trek and Star Wars and all these stories about space and travel and all this type of stuff to get the futuristic concepts and ideas kind of going in people's minds about a coming savior type race of aliens from the Galactic Federation type stuff, because this will be like the rub. It'll be like all these saviors that appear will be saying something along the lines of like, well, you know, your religion's kind of got it wrong. We're actually all aliens from another place, and you just interpreted us as gods. It'll be that kind of message, you know. And the aim is to get the people to beg the governments to capitulate and give up countries and borders and weapons and everything and give full control over to these creatures and other religious leaders, because humanity by this point is supposed to be extremely exacerbated with the destruction and the war that we've had to suffer through for so long. This is why I'm talking about, you know, this current event going on right now in the Middle East, the war, the destruction, the death, the starting of dragging every country into this thing because of ties and treaties everywhere. It seems like the beginning of perhaps this agenda's end game, which is to complete and totally wear down the saints, absolutely just cripple and destroy economies, countries and the morale of every individual on Earth just through perpetual destruction and war, non-stop, the death machine churning through the young type of stuff. Like, and once we're just at our wits' end and we can't take any more, this is when the projection begins. And it's all but just one giant illusory con. It's just one massive lie, one massive Masonic theater, as we like to call it here, you know, just a made up fiction. But everyone will believe it because we've all been programmed to believe it. And we'll all be so desperate for a solution that could end all of this, that this sign in the sky situation will just be a miracle. It'll be like, this is what we prayed for this. We prayed for something to happen to save us, and the saviors are here. It's that type of feeling that will be embedded into the culture at the time. And what greater psychological warfare savior subject is better than super advanced moral beings coming to help mankind transcend out of their primitive ways? You know, it's such a cliche Hollywood epic type solution, but that's exactly what they've trained people to be ready for, and that's what they're going to give us. And it's called Project Bluebeam, and it's going to just be one giant show. So someone just said, Red Hot Host has been a member for 2 months. Are you aware of the Invention Secrecy Act in the US? It is directly related to this topic. I've not. Invention Secrecy Act. Fill me in. I've not heard of this before. I'm interested. Let me know, Red Host, any more information you've got, I'm willing to hear. Cult of Khan says he was talking about the targeting last week on his show. I did catch that, actually, yeah, and I've kind of touched on targeted individuals here and there over the past couple of months. I think it's a topic I kind of want to dwell on a bit more, get to know a bit more information on, because I don't know enough about it. I don't. I really don't. And I think Connor was kind of saying the same thing when he made it. It's one of those subjects that you don't really know a lot about unless you've kind of been forced to get to know, because you've been suffering from it too, you know, or someone close to you claims to be suffering from it. And it's kind of, it's like a whole subculture out there of people who are just talking about being targeted. And I'd like to know more about that culture, because it's a huge subculture of the conspiracy culture, you know. And that's kind of what I do at Understanding Conspiracy. I look at all the groups and factions and what they're all saying, and just to get to understand them and see where they fit into the holistic picture of things. And yeah, this whole voiced skull technology is often talked about in the targeted individual groups. And I think this is a technology that they're trying to implement en masse to induce what seem like mystical religious experiences. The voice of God talking down to mass humanity all at once in every language simultaneously, and every ear shall hear you, that type of stuff, you know. And from our measly ignorant perspective, it will seem like God is talking to us, but it's all just one giant show. It's an illusion. It's a big magic trick. And it only works if you don't know how the trick works. Okay? You only fall for it when you don't know about the man behind the curtain. And that's kind of where we come in. We do. We're aware of it. So when this all kicks off and that happens, there's going to be a very small, very tiny voice, because we're not that big, you know, and we'll say, nah, that ain't God. That is not God. That has nothing to do with the truth or reality of the situation whatsoever. Like, and if you think that is God, you do not understand the story of Jesus Christ or God, where it truly fits into this. You just believe some kind of Hollywood Family Guy version of Jesus or something that makes you believe such a delusion that this would actually happen and this is the case. And then when you bring the little season stuff into it as well, from our perspective, and even niche group within the niche of conspiracy Christianity, we're like, look, man, the second coming has already happened. We're waiting for final great white throne judgment. You know what I mean? It's kind of, that even throws a huge wrench into the whole blue bean project and everything else. It just changes everything. And we're not going to be fooled. But imagine us against this massive scene of people who just think they believe they just heard God speak to them. We're like, that's not God, bro. They'd be like, are you insane? Did you not hear what we just heard? How can you go against the gods / God / my savior individually? It's kind of, what's wrong with you? Do you not see what's happening in the sky? The sky's teared open like a veil, and we're seeing some psychedelic crazy stuff. There's like huge discs and spinning eye monsters everywhere, and it's kind of like, it's happening. It's here. It's now. You know, this is it. You're saying no? Like, we all seem like we're insane and so stubborn that we're holding back humanity from finding peace, and we'll be hated universally for it and probably killed. Let's be realistic. It's kind of like, we can't have people like you around who are holding back the evolutionary advancement of humanity towards a peaceful utopia. We can't have you around stopping such a thing with your backwards beliefs you aren't willing to get with the times. They either lock us up to shut us up, or they'll just get rid of us. And no doubt it'll be justified by that point, because the new religion that comes with the New World Order, which is the New Age religion, by the way, is this airy-fairy understanding belief system that is kind of a mix of Buddhism and Taoism and Zoroastrianism mixed with the Gnostic spins on every other religion around the world, which will basically say, well, we're all one consciousness, don't you know? Humanity's consciousness is like a collective hive mind that dissipates itself into many bodies, but it's all connected back to one source. And when a body dies, it doesn't die, but the essence goes back to the original source it came from. Therefore, if we kill people, we're not really killing them, because no one ever really truly dies. They just go back to the source. And if we kind of like cull the population down to a very small number of humanity, and then the concentration of the collective consciousness of humanity will be super powerful in this very small concentrated amount of people. But the more people we have, the more diluted that concentrated power of collective humanity becomes into consciousness. Therefore, we're weaker when we're bigger in numbers, but stronger when smaller in numbers, as so told to us by the new savior gods who have reached this state of enlightenment, who are here to teach us their own ways. And what better thing to do then? Well, we may as well just kill the sick, the weak, the disabled, the elderly, the crazies, you know, so that way humanity can be collectively strong and perfect. And we've just gone back to eugenics. Like, this is what's gonna happen. This is how it would play out, okay? And all of it seems perfect. The right thing to do, okay? Because of what's because of this huge mind melting event that just happened in the sky. which flips all forms of perceptions of reality on its head and has literally just turned all the normies insane lunatic zealots. That's what it's turned them into, you know, a cult, true cultists, like who it's kind of our way or the highway type of attitude. And that's what the Project Bluebeam would lead to. And there is actually in the book, The Nephilim Like Clans, I did cover some of the early beliefs of Freemasonry in here. And if I can quickly find it, it's not hard to get to. It's chapter 15, Secret Societies and the Circus. And I mentioned Albert Pike and his letter to Mazzini, the Italian leader of Freemasonry in that region at the time. And he explains, basically, first of all, he believes that Adonai is the bad god and Lucifer is the good god. He's basically a Gnostic. And Lucifer, the light bringer, is in perpetual balance or battle with Adonai, the creator of the physical universe, and they are both God equally simultaneously. It's just a lot of bollocks, basically. But he also goes here to talk about the Third World War. And this is quite an infamous letter. This is a letter that people have tried to debunk many a time and say, well, there's no proof he actually said this and so forth. But it's out there, and it was released in 1910, specifically. But it was claimed to be dated and written in 1871. To Giuseppe Mazzini, the leader of the Italian lodges of the time. And this letter clearly lays out a long-term plan to instigate three world wars to usher in a new age of Lucifer. Would you believe it? So, quote, "The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world." Well, what do you know? Let's just turn on the news today and see what's happening, shall we? "The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other." Well, they're just flying 200 missiles at a time towards each other, aren't they? And they're going to drag everybody else in to utterly just raise that place to the ground. It seems like that's what's happening right now, doesn't it? Let's just keep going. "Meanwhile, other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists." Well, we saw that in the early part of the 20th century to the latter part of today. You know, with the rise of communism, which was a highly atheistic movement as well, and the mass death and destruction and genocides that caused en masse. The Bolshevik Revolution as well. And we all know the people who were behind that type of thing, don't we? Anyway, let's keep going with this. "We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere, the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time." So that's quite a common one. I'm sure you've all heard that one before. Okay. Again, this book is full of it. You should go check it out if you haven't already. It's available on Amazon. But yeah, he basically said everything that we've seen witnessed throughout the 20th century and the early 21st century. We are seeing currently the mutual destruction of political Zionism and, of course, Islam destroying themselves in the Middle East and obviously dragging in with them Christian nations to defend the Zionist nations because of the false belief and understanding that in some way we are connected to those nations as Christians through the Judaizers out there who want to tell you that that's the case, but that's just not the case at all. And then, of course, those people that are there have nothing to do with the true bloodlines or anything or the tribes or whatever they claim to be. It was all done in the 40s by some kind of like conspiratorial plot through the Balfour Declaration through Britain. So it's just a lot of bollocks, basically. But that's what they're doing. They're using it as an excuse to get in there and politically destroy the Islam and political Zionism simultaneously, while also showcasing at the time the destruction that atheism will cause, the nihilistic atheistic worldviews can cause on the earth, the pacifism. I think that's being more done in at home by the mass killings and the sprees and the shootings and this type of stuff. And obviously we've been exacerbated, haven't we, by the extreme socialist communist left-wing movements that have kind of infiltrated all everything within our society recently. And I feel in a way that's, we've now gone, the pendulum swing has gone so hard right now as a counter-revolution to that attitude that we're now sick of that. So that's dying out, while they've now kicked in this war to sort out the Islam Zionist situation. And the only people who are fighting these wars against not only the political left, socialist, communist, atheistic, nihilistic types, but also the Middle Eastern war, Muslim wars, are the Christians. We're the ones being made to fight these wars. Our countries, our nations are being the ones dragged in, claiming we have to fight and defend ourselves against these tyrannies to civilization and Western values. And then we're going to be disillusioned because we've just made a bunch of Christians murder each other and other nations, and thou shalt not kill is a pretty hefty rule above us, which we shouldn't be breaking for anything or any other reason. But we have and been made to believe it. And then how many Christians in this world who have been dragged through these narratives and these programmings and these systems are going to be like, what's it all for? Is it even true? Where is Jesus? Can I even be saved anymore? They'll be disillusioned. They'll have no idea what's going on anymore. It's kind of, this can't be it. This can't be the world. God can't be like this, you know? And then boom, projection. Can you imagine that playing out like that? I can. And this was over 150 years in the making, this letter. Seems like everything he said came true. The First World War was a destruction of the Christian nations. We all started killing each other. And at the same time, the rise of communistic ideologies were coming in that early movement as well, and dominated after World War I and utterly decimated much of Eastern Europe as a result. And then World War II came around as a reactionary to the atheistic, nihilistic, communistic movements everywhere. But then that was quickly squashed and quelled and then destroyed. And then the communists kind of won, really, didn't they? And took over and infiltrated all of our institutions in the West ever since. But now we've had the revealing of the truth of the evil communist regime. And now we've kind of gone hard right, orthodox Christian about it all, and say no more with this nonsense, you know. And the younger generations have gone very hardcore that way, but it's kind of, it all just seems like contrived by design nonsense to me based on this letter. And now it's time to kick off the Third World War in the Middle East to annihilate the Zionist Islam problem, and basically the religion problem. It will make everybody at their wit's end. And this all goes, obviously, coincides with the space agenda, the globe agenda, the medical institution corruption, the monetary banking corruption agendas. Basically, just corrupt everything, make everything terrible, and convince everybody everything's meaningless and pointless, and science has proven God doesn't exist anyway, while we're at it. Okay, that's always been bombarded onto us since we've gone through the education systems. And I can imagine most people by this point, give it 10 years of just constant war, they'll be done, and they'll just be praying for a sign, for something to save us, because we clearly can't save ourselves. And that's when they'll unleash the big thing, you know. And most people are just watching these wars today, and they're kind of just, they're thinking short term, they're thinking very earthly and fleshly about these things, they're thinking very boring, normal, status quo, business as usual, this is just war, as a war has always been type of attitude about it, you know. And thinking more about resource control and economical imbalances and this type of thing. They're thinking about, you know, How's this going to affect the stock markets? How's it going to affect the housing markets? Who's going to be ruling these regions? Destabilization. It's kind of, they're thinking more just worldly about the situation, and the people aren't really prepared for this wild card to just randomly rock up and just change everything. They're not prepared for it mentally, because everything and the way it's all presented is mundane. It's supposed to just be mundane war, business as usual war, you know, and they're not ready for the whole out of left field aliens rock up claiming to be God type of stuff. They're just not ready. People's frameworks in their heads cannot conceptualize such a thing. So when it does happen, yes, 99% of the Earth's population are going to stop in their tracks. 0.5 of that population will die from a heart attack, because their world cannot maintain such a thing. There's no room for it. So they just die probably from shock. And then whatever's left will just be us going, no, we said this was going to happen. And what can we do really in that scenario? And this is kind of why I even made my other video, you know, which is you can't save the world. Like, I think as conspiracy theories, we really need to get to grips with this reality. Okay. They want you to fight their wars. They want you in on this. They want you invested in the world. And if you want to save it, you're invested into it, and you've lost. You've already lost, okay? It's not the world that needs saving. And this is why mankind needs Christ, a real savior, who'd already came and did everything that needed to be done. We're not waiting for another one, okay? And this is kind of what they've prepared the world for. The other one, which is going to be Lucifer. It's the Luciferian doctrine that they've... And basically, Lucifer may not even have to turn up. It can just be an idea, okay? It can be the idea of mankind is God. We are our own gods. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. You know, it's kind of, we are God. Everything we do is right and righteous in that respect. There is no God, but we collectively are God. Well, that's Luciferianism. Ye shall be as gods was the promise from the snake in the Garden of Eden. And... it's fully going with the apple, man. Let's go with it. that's Luciferianism. Mankind becoming the light bringers into the world through gnosis or knowledge. You know, that's basically it. And you can't save the world. Like, you really can't. And people really do not understand the message when I say that. They literally think I'm doing it on purpose to make everyone weak and pacifist and not fight back and just let the bad people win. I'm not saying that. If you're in a position to do good and stop evil, then do it. More power to you, man. God's got your back. Go. Be righteous and fight evil. By all means. I'm not saying don't do that. If you're capable, then you're in a position where you can do it immediately. But if you think you're going to save the world through these random small acts of kindness, you're naive. You got another thing coming. Okay, and realistically speaking, all it's going to do is drag you down to their level. It really is. They want you invested. They want you fighting. That's the agenda. It always has been the agenda. Now, pacifist non-compliance, while also exposing evil and telling the truth in this world, that will make real, tangible, immediate change and differences in a big way. You don't have to fight. You don't have to go kill anybody to get that result. You really don't. You really do not have to do that. That's their tactics. And it never... Well, you know, the irony is God's in control and God wins and has already won. So for much as they can kill us and take our lives now, they actually have lost. They lost a long time ago. Okay. And if we are in the little season, then what's really coming is all of this is now just... Once that they've collectively convinced mankind they're all one, then they can get them all together as one army. Then they can convince the whole earth with an army whose number is of the sands of the sea to surround the camp of saints somewhere on earth, wherever that is, telling us the evil aliens have turned up. Something like that. They'll lie to us, or they'll say something. Or Lucifer, the imposter god... Because I'm the real Jesus who came up and saved the world already, you remember, you know? But Lucifer's still on Earth, the devil, and he's camped out over here somewhere. So we need to go over there and just take the war to him, you know? It's kind of, I don't know how they're going to spin it. They'll tell us some lie or something silly to convince the whole Earth to go to war with Jesus somewhere on Earth, or at least his saints somewhere on Earth. And then New Jerusalem raining down from heaven, the establishment of the new heaven and earth. All that's going to kick off at the end of all of the blue beam stuff I mentioned earlier. The new world order that they're going to quickly establish briefly. It's like the Tower of Babel stuff. They're going to build it. They'll almost make it to heaven, and then God will just bring it all down instantly. And it was all just folly, vanity, useless. It was never going to succeed, no matter how hard they truly believed or tried. And that's pretty much how it's probably going to go down, I would say. So this is why we should have no fear. And this is why I'm saying it's kind of, look, vengeance is the Lord's. All right? Give it to him. Let him take care of the problem, the enemy. Okay? Because at the end of the day, the body's the body, all right? And we may be able to kill people's bodies. And that's terrible. You probably shouldn't be doing that anyway. But God's going to deal with their eternal soul. He's going to deal with the other bit, the other side of it all. Okay? And it's kind of, let him deal with both is what I'm saying. Don't get your hands dirty. Do not roll around in the mud with the pigs. Okay? You may be in this world, but do not be of the world. If you think you can save the world, then you're of it. You're in it. You're too invested. You are way too invested for your own safety and good. That's what I meant by that message. Like, I'm not telling you to be weak. If somebody's robbing somebody in front of you, go and stop them if you can. Okay? If somebody's, like, clearly doing something terrible and evil or demeaning somebody in front of you, do something. Okay? Yes. Fight where applicably can fight. Do good in your area and your immediate surroundings. Build a life worth living here as an example that God is good and he is on the side of his people who believe in him. Go out there and show that and spread the good word and the message and the good news that, yes, this world may be corrupt and Lucifer may have a short time. The devil may have a short time here where he gets to rule, but God rules and is in control. And if you're walking in his kingdom while here, they have no authority over you and cannot stop you from living a righteous, good, wholesome, productive, fruitful life with God on your side in this world. The kingdom is now, people. The kingdom is within. But it's also going to be a physical, real kingdom for eternity on earth in the end of all of this as well. That's good news. Come and join. Become a member of the kingdom of God. You know, so there you go, guys. That's my rant about the war and Bluebeam. I'm going to have a break, and when I get back, I'm going to talk to you about crop circles. Something odd has appeared, which links very much to my book here, The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. And on the topic, just talking about The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, I read the book. I'll play you an advert while I'm at it, okay? One of the old adverts. I am going to be working on a new one for the audiobook soon, so that's going to rock up maybe in the next month. I'm four chapters away from finishing the audiobook. It's been a long, grueling process, which I knew it would be, but I'm almost there. But for now, I'll play you an old advert, and then we'll have a quick mid-show break as well. I'm going to play some music for you guys very quickly, and when I come back, we'll talk about crop circles. So stick around, have a drink, go get yourself a snack, make a brew, have a coffee, have a chat in the chat if you're here listening live. Any questions you want to throw at me as well, throw them out there while we're at it, and I'll see if I can just check the chat while these songs are playing. But yeah, guys, I'll play some adverts for you, and I'll be back soon.
When ordinary people think of autumn, they imagine shorter days, cozy fires, curling up with a great piece of literature, and basking in the warming scent of cinnamon with shades of burnt orange, which your other half has decided to spend the life savings on to decorate the home for only 2 months, just as God intended. Yet we must remember that this transition into the frosty abyss of winter creates the perfect conditions for the spread of the pathogen known as Halloween. This disease causes people to dress like demons and go door to door asking for free stuff. This public service announcement aims to give you the correct tool to help you deal with these contagious commie behaviors when they manifest in your local community. First, you'll want to arm yourself with multiple shots of the best-selling paperback on Amazon called The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. With this PPE, you're fully equipped and well protected to handle what's to come next. Second, have a pumpkin spice latte and white girl autumn your time away in knitted cream shackets and pilgrim hats, because soon enough, Samhain begins. This is when the veil between the spirit realm and the physical world is at its thinnest, and possession, the main symptom of Halloween, is more commonly presented, causing this type of unironic cringe to start happening. Just look at him. This poor soul thinks he looks cool. And if you're not careful, this could be you. Together we can stop the spread of Halloween and flatten the curve. When you see fully grown adults playing dress-up and mirroring unspeakable horrors from beyond the void, remember your training and cure their vapid sense of self-identity by handing them one of our favorably reviewed treatments. Your country must develop herd immunity to seasonal cringe. So, spread the cure far and wide. Just like the cure, this disease does not discriminate by age. Emulating the infected, you will see children running around in bedsheets, knocking on doors, begging for sugary treats, and threatening to damage your well-earned property. Make sure to fill their novelty buckets with the one thing all children secretly want: a well-rounded and relatable education in biblical history. That'll stop the spread. The Nephilim look like clowns, and the inevitable booster volumes are currently the only known cure to thinly veiled demon-channeling holidays. This is your best defense against this pandemic of spooky proportions. All you have to do is trust the science. Which you know we did, because I'm showing you people wearing lab coats and looking serious. Get your copy on Amazon today, and be prepared for tomorrow. Side effects of reading The Nephilim Look Like Clowns include, but are not limited to, a feeling of existential crisis, a well-rounded knowledge of a Christian contrarian view on human history, a foundational understanding of spiritual warfare, and a healthy aversion to clowns.
Okay, and I'm back, and I can see the chat is mixed on my little diatribe there. Some people are for it, some people say, nah, bro, we need to have a Christo-fascist regime. Looking at you over there, Connor. But maybe that's what it takes. Maybe I'm just full of shit, and what we really need to do is just take back full dominion control over the Earth as God originally intended mankind to have. But I think maybe that was the original plan before mankind basically ballsed it up, and we won't have full dominion again till the Earth has been restored to its original state before the fall. I think that's more likely what we're going for here. And until then, it's kind of like the state the world is in right now, you cannot change. Only God can change that in the end. That's kind of where I feel. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. That's just my thought on it all. Like, I'm not asking people to be weak. And like I said, if you're in a position where you can fight the power for Christ and spread the word and the gospel and win souls and save souls, go and do that. But if you're trying to, like, stop the world from, like, burning, like, I really don't think we have much water power to deal with that, unfortunately. I feel like the people who have the power are going to make it burn. They don't care. They really don't care. And they have the resources to do this type of thing. But at the end of the day, God has all power and authority and control in every situation. And although they have their letters and their plans, which they have told to each other about what they intend to do with the future, and although it seems like they've managed to do quite a lot of it, I'm sure they've stumbled, had roadblocks, had problems along the way, and mistakes and issues, and have not always been able to do everything they claimed they wanted to be do, because God is always there fumbling the plans, stopping them, delaying them, destroying the intentional ideas. It's kind of, oh, you want that technology to work? Well, it's not going to work, so saith the Lord, that type of stuff. You know, I'm sure there's been plenty of that going on as well. And just because they say it's going to happen doesn't mean it will. God can stop it, and it can do anything at any moment, you know. But I think God kind of is also in that position where he's kind of like, how far will the people go before I need to step in? I think he's going to be like that as well. It's like, how many people will realize or will stand by me when times get hard and tough? And I feel like God wants us to put some effort in sometimes as well. And again, this is just so think of Paul, not so saith the Lord, you know, this is just what I'm assuming. But I think God loves a trier, and I think he's waiting to see if mankind collectively is going to try here. What are they going to do, you know? And at the same time, we are not going to stop prophecy, man. Regardless, the story's already written. Yeah. And maybe all we can do is delay the inevitable. And like I said, win the souls along the way. That's what we were really all about, right? It was about the souls we won along the way. It wasn't really about the living in the world itself. I don't know. There we go. In heavenly terms, we are defenseless, says Oops. I don't know what that means. What's this? I don't have any question at all about the command. You have to be stored somewhere to be restored. Christ restores us. Now through him, we have the authority to rule the earth, says the cult of God. Well, yeah. I mean, if we would collectively take that authority, I think we could. But most quote-unquote Christians are political Zionists, and they align with worldly governments instead and their agendas rather than Christ's kingdom and his authority and rule and diktats, shall we say. So until there's a change in perspective for most Christians, I think we're not going to have the manpower or the numbers or the institutional authority and power and resources to have that Christo-fascist regime that we so need, a kingdom with Christ at the helm, you know. I think it's going to be tough to establish that. Though, you know, we can dream. A man can dream, you know. Biochrisma's in the house. Good to see you. Classic advert. Glad you enjoyed the advert, yeah. It's $1.30 a litre in Ontario right now, says Jeff. So is that how much you're paying for gas, as you call it? We call it petrol over here. $1.30, and you're complaining? Are you joking? Like, I'm gonna make you happy with your gas prices here. So what's that? $1.30. It's about 70 cents to the pound here, or something like that. I think £1 is about $1.30. Okay. So over here, fuel prices are £1.50. I've seen them go up to £2 when the whole COVID thing kicked off and the whole Russia pipeline stuff was all being said. But, you know, and if you're going for diesel, it's about £1.70, £1.60, £1.70. And that's if you go to low price vendors like supermarkets and stuff. But if you go to like more of the higher premium lines, you're paying up to like £1.90. £1.80 or something like that for fuel. It's like basically 2-to-1 price. Okay. Now in dollars, that's about $2.80 or something like that. Okay. It's like almost $3 a liter. A liter. And a gallon is far greater than a liter. And you do buy the gallon over there, but still, you're paying £1 a liter basically. In America, while I'm paying £1.80 a litre. So shut up complaining about your gas prices. Honestly, stop it. Just stop it. You have no idea how good you have it. When I visited America, I was appalled and shocked and envious at how cheap your fuel was. That's all I'm saying, all right? Seriously. it's mainly through tax for us. Like, it's taxed through the roof as well. It's ridiculous. He was saying gas is cheap right now. Okay, well, good. I'm sorry if that was the case. But I hear Americans complain about gas prices all the time, and I'm like, you guys have no idea. But if he was saying it's cheap, yeah, that is cheap. Good. I'm glad you acknowledge it. Beck from Mars is saying it's only $1.59 here in Australia. It's the cheapest it's been for years. $1.59, I think, is like 80p for me in Britain. It's about half. Because I know one Canadian dollar is like 50 British pence or something like that. You're like half whatever our currency is, because I do currency conversion rates with the book sales and stuff, so I'm aware of that much. Yeah. I'm not complaining, just saying. Jeff, I wasn't really singling you out, to be honest. I'm just saying in general. I just hear Americans always complain about the gas prices, and I'm like, you just spend a week or two in Britain. you'll be sick. You'll probably have a heart attack at the price of your fuel. Yeah, it's not going to be good. My gas is $4.99 here, says, well, I don't know what's going wrong there. Wow. Yeah, every state seems to have their own individual prices set. In Britain, it's a pretty flat rate, because we're not even like the size of one state in America, you know. Texas is good. Texas is cheap because you've got your own reserves, right, I believe. Be content, as Paul says. That's right. You got to fill up on the red stuff in the UK. So people are talking about gas prices now. Anyway, let's shift gears. Let's move on. We talked about gas prices. We talked about war and Christo-fascist regimes. But let's just talk about crop circles. Now, I actually have a series, which I 2 years ago, I started this series. I stopped doing it after a while because I was always doing it in my car. The rumbling of the engine in the background was kind of ruining the entire video. But it was early days, you know. I didn't have such a setup as I do now, or an office or a workspace to make videos. So back in the day when I was just driving around talking to myself, I used to make these videos called Remember. And it was a series that I called it the Remember series. And each title would be like, Remember blah, blah, blah. And I would name an old conspiracy theory that has kind of like disappeared into the shadows, and no one really talks about them anymore. But they were a thing once, and it's like everyone talked about it for a short period of time. It's like a conspiracy fad. Like one of them, for example, is, do you remember indigo children, or remember cloning centers, or remember the 27 Club, you know, all the celebrities dying at the age of 27. Things like that. These old, really old conspiracies. Like, remember Comet Ison, which was passing perihelix around the sun, and everyone thought, like, we were going to go into its trail and disaster was going to strike. And it turns out the thing just burnt up as it went round and disappeared forever. So they say from the graphics and everything. But it's kind of, there was these big things in the past, you know, and crop circles was one of them. I did an episode called Remember Crop Circles, because there was a time in like the 2012, 2011, 2013 period where crop circles were all the rage in the conspiracy world. Like, that's, you were tripping over crop circle videos, you know, they were just all over YouTube, and they were wild. There was some pretty wild stuff coming out back in the day, some pretty wild crop circles. Let me just get some examples up here just so you can you can see what I'm talking about. See if I can jog the old nostalgia memory hole there. But let's just type in crop circles alien message. Okay, so this is a really old school one here. Let's get some images up. And even the History Channel was making stuff about this. Okay, I'm about to share this with you. This is honestly, this is ridiculous. I'm looking at these now. 2009 here, some of these are from. I'm going back in time. I'm showing my age, but let's just share the screen here. Look at these. Right, so this top corner, for example, and I'll just bring this up. So we got this one, and this was literally, look, it's like a fax image of a gray alien with this circle here that has like Morse code on it or something. And the coded message was ridiculous. It was like, open conduit, portal opening soon, light, love, connectivity, consciousness, peace. We are coming soon. What is it? Is here. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. There is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing. Ding. It's kind of, what are you talking about? Like, what a lot of new age bullshit. Okay. And yeah, these things happen a lot. They got another one here that turned up with another message. Know of our existence. We are your galactic neighbors. Disclosure is coming. No more pain and deception. That's what it supposedly said. And then we have this this one that randomly turned up. Okay, this crop circle, which was broken down. And it's showing, like, basically, we sent this message out. Okay, see this one on the left with a man? Okay. We sent this out into the universe, apparently. Okay, this is a message we released, and it's supposed to say, look, we have two strand DNA, we have so many this yellow one here is planets, supposedly, so we have the sun, and we are the third one from the sun, which is slightly raised, and we have these other planets, you know, and it's basically trying to explain how our atmosphere works. We are carbon-based and all this type of stuff, you know, and it's basically like a message to send out to the universe for extraterrestrial, that any extraterrestrial life could decode to know who we are. And we got one back, okay, in a crop circle, and this is what it looked like. So they're trying to tell us, like, oh, the aliens were in touch and they left a crop circle from in 2001 it came out. Okay, so it was the Arecibo message, and then the crop circle returned in 2001, which looked like this. Like, and it's like, we have big heads and tiny bodies. We have three-strand DNA, and our system has 10 bodies and 2 suns, and it's kind of... They were really pushing the alien shit, is what I'm saying, all right? They were really going hard on it back in the day. They were pushing it out there. Here it is. Here it is, the Chilbolton glyph. You know, this is what the alien response we got in crop circle format. And they've been, our intergalactic brothers have been sending us messages in coded geometrical form in Shropshire, of all places, for the better part of 30 years. You know, there it is printed into the thing. And they're always sending us these geometric forms of sacred geometry, odd symbolism, you know, representing deep mathematical principles and comets and planetary alignments and all sorts of crazy things, you know. And here's like another odd coded message built into this thing about planets and code and matrix formats and computer chips it's kind of sending us knowledge from beyond the void to help mankind ascend to the next level of consciousness. You know, all that kind of stuff is constantly, constantly being printed into the fields just next to Stonehenge in Shropshire. Always in Shropshire, pretty much. Another one turns up every now and then somewhere random just for good measure, you know. But they always seem to be concentrating in one spot. It's always in one spot. And some of these, honestly, some of these crop circles, they get intense. And they are perfect every time. And they can get really big and extremely complex. Like, I'm talking, like, unbelievably complex. And even from the sky, when you see them, they're, like, impressive enough. But when you get right down there onto the boots on the ground, you realize nuances and patterns have been formed, even on the flat sections, with swirls and all sorts of things being made to distinguish one section from another, and it's kind of artistry of the highest level went into them, you know what I mean? And when people look at them and you realize the corn hasn't even, the crops haven't even been broken, they've been steamed and they've popped at the bottom where they have a nodule, and then they've bent in over each other after they've popped, so they've kind of been steamed and heated up to and formed instantly, is what they're trying to say here. There was no couple of blokes going around with the planks of wood and some string, pressing it down with their feet, breaking the crops. These things have seemed to have been microwaved into the ground, is what we're trying to say here, on a, such a scale. Like, the size of these things is it's just uncanny. Like, look at this. Can you see how some of them have been folded other ways to make the star appear more, like, three-dimensional in some way? And then you get these hippies going there barefoot saying, oh, the energy of these places is so healing and etheric, and you can really feel it, you know, and you know when it's a real one because it's humming with galactic power and energy. And then the man-made ones look really bad in comparison, like really crappy, you know, and kind of like, they've been done through brute force and they're a bit wonky. The circles aren't quite as good as they could be. But these random ones that rock up like this with ultra precision, like, they are... Yeah, there's something odd going on. Now, look, I'm not saying these are aliens. I am not saying that at all. I don't believe in vast, infinite space out there and planets and galaxies and all that type of stuff coming here to try and, you know... I don't believe aliens are going to rock up and tell us that anything they say is going to be a lie. I believe it's an enclosed system, and whatever turns up are likely fallen angels and or interdimensional demons of some kind, or the Nephilim in some way. That's what I believe, okay? I don't believe the mainstream narrative. I do think mankind may have technology that can do this, okay? But it's not through brute force going out there at night in the dark and kind of pressing it down with some planks of wood. I think they're playing with a technology, a frequency, laser beams, perhaps satellite, or however they're doing this, some kind of radio frequency, high energy weaponry style laser printer of sorts. I don't know how to describe it, but I think they can literally fire down what they want to print on the ground like a stamp. I think they can send information that they've made in, like, I don't know, Photoshop. They probably have like a graphic system they make these things in. Okay, and then they send that information through their systems, which then beams it down to the ground and imprints it on the ground like a stamp. I think that's what they're more likely doing. They have the technology that can just burn it into the ground very quickly and make grass and stuff, certain types of crops, conform very easily to the message and signals and frequencies they're sending out there. And that's how these things quite literally appear instantly overnight. What should be a project that takes months to complete by a team of like 100 men appears within half an hour. It was there 1 minute, then it's not. It's not there, then suddenly it is there. That's not how these things appear. Instantaneously. Okay? So, I think technology is at play here. People think it's probably something a bit more like mystical. You know, it really is aliens doing something and manipulating and warping reality in ways we can't comprehend. I think this is people messing with us to convince us of that agenda I mentioned earlier. Because the truth is, it's not aliens from outer space. It's interdimensional, stuck in a place they can't get out of, communicating through simple means with humans to forward agendas that they want so they can come back here. Like, that's the Nephilim problem. And then we have this problem of literal angels in rebellion against God who have been released from the pit for a little season with Lucifer, no doubt, you know, and Satan at the helm, who perhaps do have powers beyond our capabilities and comprehensions of traditional physics, and are probably doing stuff like this to forward that new age Galactic Federation of Light agenda, which so many people are falling for. You know what I'm talking about. You've got these Galactic Federation channelers out there, you know, these people who genuinely believe they are channeling messages from the Galactic Federation of Love and Light. Let's go on videos. You get some of these wacky people out there doing this from the Palladians, you know, or the Ashtar Galactic Federation of Light sent me a message, and they talk in some crazy, silly, ridiculous voice, which is just unbelievably cringeworthy and stupid beyond all comprehension, you know. And yet, those people who have fallen hook, line, and sinker for the agenda, I think all of this just serves to egg them on a little bit and keep that going, that idea in the consciousness of humanity collectively. Anyway, that being said about crop circles and what they truly represent, you know, mystical woo-woo stuff to keep the new ages on the hook is what I would say. And also, they're testing out technologies while they're at it, and they're getting very good with what they can do with this technology now, you know, and it was already pretty damn advanced like 20 years ago. They're probably going to use this technology for something a little bit more nuanced and subtle and crazy that we don't really understand yet. Maybe going hand in hand with the idea of the whole fake alien invasion thing. You know, maybe this is what they were testing this type of technology out for then. I don't know. But check out this latest one. Okay, I think this is timely. And this is how you know it's a giant con. This is a joke and this is people doing this, but it's suggest a crop circle. And I am being completely honest with you. Stonehenge Joker. We'll pause. Let it play. Can you guys see this? Yep, you can see this one. And, you know, I'm going to just skip ahead. This guy drives down to it. He sets up his drone. And he's flying around. And they've literally put a Joker-like clown demon jester just next to Stonehenge. It's a stone's throw away from Stonehenge. And I mean that. Okay, so look, he zooms out here. And he quickly whizzes across. Literally just over the hill. Look, watch. Just over the hill. Quickly keep going. And there's Stonehenge right there. Okay, you can't miss it. There it is. And even Stonehenge itself is a complete con, right? Have you heard the story about this? How they like reconstructed it like not that long ago? And they're trying to claim like it's ancient when really it probably isn't ancient at all. But yeah, even in this crop circle, if you look actually at the circles, can you see how they're actually twisted? Like quite complex ways. And yeah, the detail in these things is really uncanny when you get up close. But if you look at this, they've actually released an image of a Nephilim. Okay, that's what they've done here. The real creatures that are actually communicating with us from the other side and possibly manipulating reality to do this type of thing. Well, you know, you guys know me, right? You know what I do. You know the things I talk about. And what they've just released there onto the floor is this damn thing. Like, they're telling you now, it's in black and white. They know, they're laughing at you. And you should hear some of the crap people are trying to interpret this as. Let's just look at the comments for posterity. Let's just see what people have said, okay? Because it's ridiculous. And I was looking at Facebook comments, so I don't know what these are going to be like. This is fresh for me, but let's look together now. I'm amazed how they can draw them so accurate when they're on the ground or making crop circles. And what does this guy respond? I'm pretty sure the aliens do it from space, shipmate. Probably have some high-tech GPS systems. This guy believes it's aliens. Salisbury plane doing this. And the things the crew of alien spaceships do when the captain heads the galley. Delighted someone takes jesting seriously. I would say it's a jester. At least the national sense of humor is alive. Underground entities speaking to us, captain, defo a jester. Clever beings, looks a bit sinister. Anyway, someone was giving like this full stupid breakdown on Facebook when I was looking for the picture earlier, and they were like trying to break down what the circles mean and represent. And it's all about consciousness, completion, life. The jester archetype is a collective consciousness message from the shadow of humanity and how we need to basically going on Jungian psychology to explain this thing. And could it not be that they're just telling you, we're playing you, you're being taken for fools. The Nephilim demons on the other side, you think are aliens. This is what we look like. We look like clowns, we look like jesters, you know. Be ready for us when we turn up. We're going to look something silly like this. When really, this is what the Nephilim are. This is what they looked like, hands down. I'm telling you, man. I've made a book about the damn thing. All right, this is it. That's it. That's what they're doing. They're just showing themselves now. And this, like, you know, like I said, crop circles are old. And no one's looking at this stuff anymore. No one cares about crop circles anymore. All the big, crazy, elaborate ones that were appearing back in the day, you know. And this is, like, now 20 years after the fact. And this is the type of stuff we're getting now. They're having a laugh. Like, they're having a laugh. And I thought, you know, first it was the crop circles and then the bombs. First it was the jester crop circle and now the bombs are falling. And maybe there's some, like, dark joke in all of this. Like, the demons and the angels are sending us pictures of smiling jesters while we murder each other. There's something poetically, symbolically disturbing about the whole scenario, isn't there? I just can't help but feel like that. Anyway, that's enough of that. There's not much. What more can I really say about it? It's a clown crop circle that I could riff for hours probably about and say nothing in the process. So I'm going to leave it there. You've got me, guys, for about maybe 10 minutes, and I've got to shoot and I've got to talk to Susan Faraday for the next episode of Understanding Creativity. We're going to be talking about art again and occult art. So that's something I've got to go and record after this. But you've got me for about 10 minutes. So any questions you want to ask, anything you want to say, I'll make some shout outs here and there. Let me know. In the meantime, like I said, if you want a signed copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, I have two available, one paperback, one hardcover. Send me an email at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I'll get that out for you as soon as I can. That's the best way to support me. And to be honest, right now, I do need the support more than ever. And that you at least get something if you get the book or order a book from Amazon as well. That's always a good option. Because right now, I explained this in the last one, update. The family car was leaking oil. I've taken it to a garage and it's like £1,000 to £1,200. So let's say about $1,800 to $2,000 worth of damage I can repair that needs fixing on a 14-year-old car. You know, I'm not paying that to fix a car, which is like literally half of what I paid for the damn thing 5 years ago. It's done. The cars are done. It's just, it's had its time in the sun. You know, it's over. So the thing's getting picked up and taken to the car graveyard. It's getting scrapped on Tuesday. So there we go. So I need a family car, guys. I'm without car. And, you know, the life of a YouTuber is lucrative for many, but it's not really that lucrative for a conspiracy theorist. I'm not going to lie. So, you know, I haven't unfortunately left my working class status. I've certainly not shifted up into a new class level doing what I'm doing and being an author. So it looks like I'm going to have to get a car and finance, which I never wanted to do, just to be able to afford one of those damn things these days. And I need a family car. It's just a lot. It's just life, isn't it? And it seems like everybody's car's breaking this week. Kind of had the same problem as well. Everyone's car is just falling apart. And I can't help but think like planned obsolescence. They make these cars to break, don't they? So we have to get a new one and get into debt. But yeah, when you've got two kids and shopping to do and errands to run like every single day, and you know, it's, yeah. Luckily, we're a two-car household. My wife does have her little 1.2 Corsa runabout. So we're now squeezing all in there right now, two car seats in two of us with no boot space for shopping with pram and everything. And it's going to get us by until we find a replacement bigger car. But yeah, it's no fun for anybody. And it's an old car as well. It's 14 years old. So like the aircon doesn't work. It rattles because it's so small when you go just slightly over 30 miles an hour. It's one of those cars, you know, but, we'll be okay. But yeah, we're looking to buy a new car now. It's one of those. So if you want to support me and help in any way, buy a book, because you get a book in the process, and I get closer to saving, to getting a down payment on finance for a car, which is just, honestly. But we're going to go down to one car after this, and we're going to have a decent sized car that can fit us all in and hopefully last for a long time. That's the plan. That's the dream, isn't it? That the dream is to pay for a car on finance for the foreseeable 6 years. Who doesn't want that? You know, that's wonderful. So yeah, there we go. That's my update on the car, if anyone was wondering. I'm not letting it get me down. It's just stuff. It doesn't matter, you know, and it'd be sad to see the car go. It was a nice little 1.7 diesel. Had a good little kick to it, you know what I mean? Nice little hatchback. But the Astra J is just done for. No chance. And I need to get a family car now. I've got to be sensible. I can't have fun cars anymore. So that's just the way it is. Get a clown car, says Chase. That's a good idea. Well, the car I've got right now is pretty small, I'm not gonna lie. So maybe I do put some polka dots on it. I could put on a good show. And my wife says her car is definitely about to break too. We haven't serviced it very well, I'm not gonna lie. We let it slip. Every now and then, the steering wheel on her car just breaks, you know, like the power steering, which makes it easy. And it's all manual, man, for like 20 minutes. You've got to like really turn the wheel just to go around a corner at like 20 miles an hour. And then you've got to start the engine to get it revved up again. Then suddenly the power steering just comes back on. And who knows when it's going to go out? Ooh, it's Russian roulette every time we drive. It's kind of like at any moment the power steering could just go, and you're stuck trying to get around a corner, and like cars are behind you, and you can barely turn the wheel. It's just, it's fun. Life is fun. It's full of excitement and mystery, isn't it? But yeah, her car's definitely about to go. We might be able to part exchange it for like 500 quid or something when we buy a new car, if we're lucky. The joys of motoring, as my dad used to say, it's just one of those old adages. And, you know, America are lucky. They have nice cars and they're quite cheap and they're powerful, you know, because you guys have big, wide roads and big, long everything. Like your local shop is like a half hour drive away, wherever you are in America. Like for us, it's just your 5 minute walk around the corner. So our cars are souped up with turbos, low power. They're built to break, you know, they have to meet ridiculous emission standards. So they're all just compact and they're just ridiculous and the crap, and they don't last very long. What's this? I got some super chat. Sorry, I missed that, guys. Red Hill says, sent a little follow-up on the ISA earlier on. Worth doing a video or some research on if you get the time. Hope the car trouble gets fixed soon. Well, thank you, Red Hill. I appreciate that. I'm sorry I missed your follow-up. Red Hill, if you could email me some information, I'd appreciate it. Just go to understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and just send me a link or something. You don't have to like write anything out if you don't want. But I'd appreciate if you could just, because if it's in email, it's there then. And when I get time, like when I'm in the office on a Monday afternoon or a Tuesday morning, I can just read it, internalize it. And maybe I will make, who knows, maybe I'll actually make a video about it. I do tend to do that sometimes if somebody sends me something worth talking about. I only talked about this crop circle today because someone sent me an email. So thanks, Elena, for that. I really appreciate it. I think it was Elena. Could be wrong. I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong. How can we donate anything without going through YouTube? Well, I mean, YouTube's okay, but they take a third of whatever you donate. So if you donate $10, I get six, something like that. The best way to support me with the lowest cut from the company is actually Patreon. They only take 5% of whatever you donate at Patreon. So if you signed up to like a month or something of something, then cancelled, I would get the full payment of that with only 5% taken off it. And that's because I'm a legacy member, because I started like in 2012 when they just began. So I get to have the old plan. It's like 20% nowadays if you sign up. It's a completely different game now. So Patreon's a good option if you want to have peace of mind that they're not taking that much. But PayPal as well is a good one. All it is conversion rates, and they take like 2% or 1%. It's not actually that bad on PayPal. And obviously, I know people have some quarrels about using PayPal because of its connections to Elon Musk and other things like that. But PayPal is a good option for me. It's where Patreon goes to. It's where people buy the book. So you can always donate anything through PayPal. That's always an option. The link is always in the description of any video you can go on. Patreon, again, like I said, they take 5%, which I think is the least. I think PayPal might be the same. I never really checked, to be honest. YouTube is not the best. Like I said, they take a third of whatever you donate. But it's convenient because you're here right now doing your thing, you know. So there is that option. If you don't want to use any of those companies, some people use my GoFundMe for my book. So when I had this book first released as an idea, people supported me and pre-ordered some signed copies using a GoFundMe website. That GoFundMe still exists, and the link's down below, and you can literally just donate to GoFundMe, and I'll get that money at the end of the month. They hold on to it till they processed it, and then I think they take like 10, 5, 6, 7% again or something like that. So that's not too bad. And I think that's all the options that I have. I can't use Cash App. I did have it, but they don't allow it in the UK anymore. And everyone's got an issue with everything. Someone's got an issue with any company I use, no matter what, because the world's corrupt. But what can we realistically do about that is all I have to say. So there we go, Crikey. I hope that makes it clear. Take your pick, really. Me too, Paul. Same boat. $4,650 to fix my ABS problem, says Ryan. Ryan, I'm so sorry, man. I really feel your pain. Like, I can be so empathetic about people with car problems right now. I'm lucky that I haven't really had any car problems for a long time. This diesel has done me well. I had some DPF issues. You know, you've got to kick it down the motorway for like half an hour at full speed and it just gets all the crap out. But other than that, it's run like a dream, and then suddenly it just didn't. It just bled everywhere from every orifice, and the whole thing's just gone. It's just done for, and I can't afford to replace everything. C'est la vie. Nephilim are demons now. We have the power to tread on demons. That's why they have the snake flag. Don't tread on me. Yeah, I've heard that take before. I know YouTube takes 30%. Yeah, I don't have Venmo. Again, Venmo's a very American thing, Crack. Yeah, we don't have that in the UK. It's just not an option. Because of, like, European to American to British, like, PayPal deals with the conversion thing. That's why it's useful for international payments. So that's why I have PayPal. I know, and if you're within America, there are other options where you can keep it in-house, but because I'm not in America, I can't use Venmo either. It just doesn't work. They don't do a conversion thing, I don't think, for pounds. I'd rather put dollar in your account. I don't want to give my account numbers out online or anything direct like that. I don't really have any. I don't have any options, unfortunately, for that. PayPal is where my money at the end of the month gets processed anyway, even through Patreon, because they have to go. It has to go from Patreon to PayPal, then get converted and then sent to me. It's just the way it works when you're British and have an international audience. It's just the way it is. There's not really any other easy way. Maintenance is important. Your vehicle will last much longer if you regularly change oil and such. I do. No, I ain't buying it. Trust me, I looked after the thing. I serviced it twice a year. Regular oil changes. My wife will tell you it's been the bane of our existence. I put so much money into keeping it alive for so long. I got it at like 77,000 miles, and it's now done 30,000 miles since then. It's just old. It's just so old that it's finally just kind of, it's had its day, you know. It's been driven to death, and it got looked after, but it just couldn't go any further. And it probably could go further if I put in 1,000 to 2,000 pounds to keep it running, but for me, it's a sunken cost fallacy. I paid so much for it. I've already put more than I paid for the car into it. And to pay so much more on top of that now would just be for a car that isn't even going to last that much longer and is already 14 years old, it's just not feasible or worth it for me. I don't have that kind of money laying around. You know what I mean? It's kind of, I'd rather buy a newer car with lower mileage that can go longer, that I can have for another like 10 years and just stick with it, you know? And that's kind of what I like to do. I don't buy new, I buy like used cars. So it's that kind of thing, isn't it? That's just the way I do things. And because my grandma and granddad's example, like they always save for everything they've owned. They never got into debt for anything. And that's an example I've always wanted to live by. But it feels like in this world now, it's like, you can't do that. Like it's impossible. Like just to get the car that would be useful for us as a family. It's like the prices are extortionate. It's ridiculous. So you're forced to take a loan on finance and end up paying £4,000 on top of the price they're saying in interest. And it's kind of, what a world. I'm not young. I'm aware this is how the world works. I've done it all before. I'm still not used to it, though. I'm still not happy about it. Like, it pisses me off that I can't live like my grandparents lived, you know. It's just a shame. The wife, are you Paul's wife? Yes, she is my wife. Yeah, she's sat downstairs right now on her laptop doing her own thing, taking a well-deserved break because she's lifted everything today and pulled all the weight today because it's Father's Day and I put my feet up and done absolutely nothing to help whatsoever. That's not true, by the way. I still did my bit. I wanted a confirmation for Paul verbally, if that's okay. What confirmation? Well, I don't know what you're asking me, Crikey. I have no idea. $1,000 for headlight repair? Linda, you're getting ripped off. I'd go get a second quote if I was you. Absolutely. How can I buy the book without a middleman like Amazon, said Razor. I have copies. I order copies into my own house. Like I buy bulk, like 15 at a time. Because I can't afford that many each month. I don't have that much money, you know, but I can order in like at print cost, like 15 books, which is like £80 or something. Like, I don't know what it costs actually. It varies depending on all sorts of things. But like, I can get that in and then I sell them from here and I mail them out to people in a little package like this. I've got a whole drawer full of them. And yeah, anywhere in the world, I can send it out to you. Because I am sending it out though, and it costs money, you know, and the postage packaging and international shipping. It'll cost a little bit more than you would pay on Amazon, but I'll sign it for you. I'll give you a signature. So email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com to cut out the middleman. I'll send it to you myself with a signature, and I have a paperback and a hardcover available right now. I have two left, so get yours while it's still going, man. The option's there, and if you've missed out this time, in the future, there'll be more. There'll be more. Don't worry about it. That mic stand is about £200. This mic stand cost me like £20 off Amazon or something like that. The microphone is about £200, yeah, but that's money I sunk back into the channel from business expenses maybe about 6 months ago now. And it's done me well and I plan to keep this forever. But yeah, you know, I run a business. I'm an author. I'm a YouTuber. I've invested money into quality gear to keep the quality up for you guys, but what are you trying to say? Like, I just always have £200 laying about, and I do not. I always it took time to save for this, you know. Yeah. What's this? What's going on? Anyway, guys, Adova, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. We looked after his car, not mine. I know, right? Oh, we got a new member. Truth in Song, thanks for joining. Thanks for being a member. I really appreciate that too. Yeah, YouTube memberships are good. I will be bringing out more stuff for you guys on there soon. I do like a membership only live every now and then. Right now I'm swamped. Like, I in between doing the audiobook, making a video and two live shows a week for this channel, and another video for the Understanding Creativity channel, as well as also trying to, you know, balance family life and everything else in between. I've been struggling to find time to do the members only stuff, but I do release on Patreon early interviews and things I've done with people for the other channel and this channel as well before I release them to the public. So there is always something extra, but I do need to do a members only live chat again soon. I'll try and squeeze one in next week. How about that? Razor, thanks for the donation. I appreciate that as well. Right, guys, I'm going to leave it here because I've got to go talk to Susan now for the Understanding Creativity channel. I thought the mic stand comment was hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, guys, I'm gonna have to get going. I can't stick around. I've already gone over time. I don't want to keep it waiting. So that'd be fun. That's interesting. That's coming soon. More occult artwork talk. Very exciting. But yeah, guys, I'm gonna have to leave. Thanks for listening to my random diatribes. This is therapy for me more than anything, and I hope you get something out of these live shows that I do. Again, if you want to support me, PayPal, Patreon, GoFundMe, Amazon, buy a book. There's many options. You know the drill. UnderstandingConspiracy@gmail.com if you want to email me and send me information about anything at all or request one of the signed copies. Go and subscribe to Understanding Creativity if you haven't already. Lots of great stuff going on there. I'll end this show once again playing the trailer for the upcoming release of my talk with Tim Lattie, the comic book illustrator. That was a fascinating conversation. I really enjoyed that one too. But again, guys, thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.
Turtles. I was about to quit. Like, I was done. I was so fed up. I was just burnt out, man. As a modern artist, you have to learn business, and you're learning that on the fly, usually by like hard knocks. I was always like, man, I'm not good enough, or I haven't been doing this long enough. Like, you know, all that comes into play. Then you get into some of these rooms and you're just like, holy cow, man. Like, dude, they're no different than me. Like, there was nothing holding me back this whole time.